will, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We're going to begin a new series today that I think will probably last us about 4 or 5 weeks. And I'm going to call this series Forgotten Virtues. In the world we live in, there are some things that have kind of been overlooked and forgotten based on honor, integrity, purity, gratitude. These are things that have been forgotten. So over the next few weeks, today we're going to begin with honor. But next week we're going to talk about this very impure world that we live in and the importance of the forgotten virtue of purity. And in the following week, with disposable relationships like people have today in the world, we're going to talk about the forgotten virtue of loyalty and what it means to stick with the relationship and be willing to pursue that person, whether it be a friend, whether it be a job, or whether it be a spouse. In the world where anything goes, whatever benefits me, we're going to talk about the forgotten virtue of integrity. And finally, we're going to wrap this up in week 5 with reestablishing and understanding the forgotten virtue of gratitude. So I'm excited about this. It's going to lead us right up to the school year and when kids are going back to school. So for the next 5 weeks, you'll kind of know where we're going. We don't do that a whole lot, but we like series. It helps me kind of know where I'm going, which is good. But I think this is going to be an exciting time. But today, I want to talk to you about honor. And sadly, we live in a culture where sometimes honor is totally just overlooked. It's forgotten, just like I'm calling this forgotten virtues. In Korea, when you go into the country of Korea and you meet someone, it is an honor to, when you meet them, to bow just a little bit. You don't have to totally bow all the way down, but just to slightly lower yourself before that person to show honor. When you shake hands with someone in Korea, they don't just shake hands, which that's a sign of honor here in America, but they will actually grab forearms and they actually shake forearms as a sign of honor. When you go see someone in their house, you take them a gift. Doesn't have to be expensive. Doesn't have to be anything spectacular, but you bring some kind of gift, and you, with both hands, you present that gift to them, and they actually are to receive that with both hands. That's a sign of honor in Korea. It's very interesting. But the funny one to me is that you don't show the soles of your feet. We kind of, man, how many of us have coffee tables that we just prop our feet up on all the time? Even if you sit in an office, maybe you prop your feet up on your desk every once in a while. But that is a sign of dishonor in Korea. They don't want to see the soles of your feet because the soles of your feet are dirty. And so that's not considered honorable. So it's interesting how that works. But I want to show you a story in the Bible. This is actually a story we just talked about a few weeks ago. We read this same scripture. And I wanted to use it again because I like to refresh your memory on certain scriptures. Mark chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 6, but Jesus was actually limited in what he was able to do because of his own hometown. It's a place where you would think he would be the most honored, that he was actually the least honored. Jesus was returning back to his hometown, and this isn't his birthplace, it's where he grew up. And a year prior to this visit, he was actually ran out of his town. His own people threatened to kill him. So he comes back after doing all sorts of miracles. He's healed blind men. He's raised people from the dead. He's turned water into wine. He multiplied the loaves and fishes to feed thousands. He even healed Peter's mother-in-law, which they believe is why Peter denied Jesus 3 times. There you go. Took you a minute, didn't it? Some of you get it when you're driving home. Oh. So he was doing all these miracles in other places. He comes back to his own hometown. He actually couldn't do as much because of the lack of honor or faith. So let's read Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that he has been given? And that he even does miracles? So in other words, they're saying, wow, this guy's amazing. His teachings are powerful. His miracles are amazing. How can he do such things? But look at verse 3. They begin to shift and they turn on him. It says, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. They're basically saying, isn't this the ordinary guy that we grew up with? You know, Jesus was the kid in school that scored 100 on every test, and he was always the teacher's pet because he was perfect. He never did anything wrong. Isn't he the guy that made our kitchen table? Just that common carpenter? How could he do such things? And look at what Jesus said to them in verse 4. Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. The Greek word for without honor is atimos. Obviously, it means to dishonor, but it means to treat as common or ordinary. Can I talk to some relationships in the room for just a moment? If you want a common or ordinary marriage, let me tell you how to get one. If you just treat your spouse as common or ordinary, then that's what you're going to have. If you dishonor them, then that's what you're going to get. It's common or ordinary. But if you treat them with honor, if you love them and you honor them, then you're going to build them up. Why is it that in the early years of marriage or when we first meet someone, we have this, we're in love, everything's great, everything feels good, because we're continually showing honor. We'll open the door for our spouse or our girlfriend or our fiance, whatever they are at the time, and we'll bring them gifts when we come to see them, and we take them on dates, we take them flowers. We want to make sure we're showing them honor and loving them. But something happens when we get married and all of a sudden you start to just take one another for granted and you begin, instead of showing honor, of just treating it as common or ordinary, and that's exactly what you get. Now we looked at the Greek word for without honor, so let's look at the flip side of that. What's the Greek word for honor? Well, it actually is spelled T-I-M-E, like time, but it's actually pronounced time. Time is the Greek word for honor. It means to value, to respect, or highly esteem. It means to treat as precious, weighty, or valuable. Now, that word weighty is interesting to me because how many times are you working with someone and they don't seem to be taking you very seriously on what you're telling them or the problem you're having, and you say, I feel like you're taking this too lightly. We use that a lot, don't we? The opposite of that is honoring what that person is trying to tell you or what they're needing to consider it as weighty or valuable. It's to ascribe worth or to esteem value. That's what we do when we honor someone. I have this baseball. This is a common, ordinary baseball. There's nothing spectacular or great about this baseball. It's one I played with in high school, actually. I didn't play with this exact one, but the ball just like this, same brand, same name. But out of all the common, ordinary baseballs, this one is valuable to me. Only because of the names on it. My senior year of high school, we weren't some spectacular team that won state or anything like that. But we were a group of guys who enjoyed playing together. And all the seniors, there were 8 seniors that year graduating from the baseball team. And each one got a ball signed from every player on the team. So for me, this ball has value, not because of the ball. I have tons of other baseballs that my kids and I play with out in the front yard. We might even leave them out if it rains. We don't really think that much about it. I'll go up and pick them up at some point. But we don't play with this one. This one is important to me. Why? Because of the names on it. So I honor this ball. I value this ball because of the names on it. So what does honoring do? It esteems or lifts up. But dishonoring devalues or tears down. So to honor someone is to believe the best about them. So watch what the spirit of dishonor does to Jesus. In Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, we're going to continue reading. It says, Jesus could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Now you remember, we just talked about faith 2 weeks ago and how Jesus was amazed. But notice it didn't say he wouldn't do miracles. It did not say he would not do miracles. It said he could not do miracles except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. Where there's a lack of faith, there's a lack of honor. And where there's a lack of honor, there's a lack of faith. Jesus could not do what he could do in other places where they believed in him and where they honored him. And tragically, we've become a culture, for the most part, where we are without honor. So I want to look at three areas where the Bible tells us to honor others. Just three. These are on the back of your bulletin. So it's very easy to follow along with what I'm saying. If you have the bulletin with you, you can look at that. Three areas where we are called to honor others. Number one is to honor our parents. It's one of the Ten Commandments. The Big Ten, the things we live off of all the time. Number five is honor your parents. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother so that you may be living, so you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, the Israelites are working towards the promised land when these commandments are written. They haven't gotten there yet, but there is a reward that comes with this commandment. This is the first one. If you look at the first four, they're just commandments. But this one came with a promise that if you honor your father and mother, then you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So obviously when we honor our parents, God will honor us. Parents, this is something that we have a responsibility to do in order to pass this down to our children. I remember growing up in my parents' home, teaching me what it meant to honor them. In other words, to not talk back. In other words, to do what I was told when I was told to do it, not ask why. And these are things I'm trying to instill into my children, not because we want to lord over them. It's so they learn to honor and respect someone. And it's something that we must do. I want to be careful when I say this, because for some of you in the room, as children, because in our world where, and I'm going to be careful what I say, I know we have children in the room, but premarital sex is pretty much the norm anymore. It's almost expected. So the idea of honoring your father and mother has been forgotten because some people don't even know what it's like to be born with a father and mother. And for that, I'm sorry. I wish I could change that for you. But just because it was that way for you doesn't mean you have to do the same. And the good encouragement that I can give you today is that you have a heavenly Father that could love you way more than any earthly father ever could. And you still have that example. And if you will honor Him, you will learn that you will honor others. If you will honor your heavenly Father. And for many of you, I understand, when we start talking about honoring your parents, you just cringe because you have negative feelings against them. But here's the thing I want you to understand. Respect is earned, honor is given. Respect is earned, honor is given. You can honor someone just because of the position they're in. If God's placed them around you, honor is freely given. Here's another thing to understand, and I believe I already put this on your bulletin, but if you don't have one, you can write it down. You honor someone because you are honorable, not because they are. You honor someone because you are honorable, not because they are. You may think, well, I'll treat you with honor when you start living honorably. No, you treat with honor before they're living honorably. And honor, which is bestowed upon them, will lift them up. And before long, you'll find them living honorably. It empowers, it encourages. The reason our country may be the way it is because over and over and over again, we've devalued people and we've dishonored people. Honor your father and mother. Number two, show honor to those who are in authority, to those God has placed above you. Romans 13:7 says, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe him respect, then respect him. If you owe him honor, then honor him. I had to sing the national anthem just a few weeks ago at a football game out here at the stadium, the Chillicothe Swarm team had asked me to come out and sing the national anthem. And I remember standing there on the field waiting for the players to come out and do the big celebration, and then I was going to lead them in prayer, sing the national anthem. And I remember standing there, looking up in the audience, every race, every nationality, Republican, Democrat, Christian, non-Christian, didn't matter. Everybody out there, including every player on the field, every referee, every coach, when it came time to sing the national anthem, everyone does the same thing. They stand, they face the flag, they put their hand on their heart as we sing the national anthem. Why? It's a moment to honor our country. It's a moment to honor our flag, to honor those who have served us, and to honor the fact that we have a freedom to stand and sing the national anthem. It's an honorable moment. How many times do we see our president walk into a room and everybody rises and they will clap, and half of that room, you know, does not only not agree with him, some of them hate the guy. Am I right? But they stand in honor of the position. You may not like the president, you may not agree with every one of his decisions, but God placed him there, therefore we are to honor him. I don't want to get political. It's just biblical, right? You show honor to those in authority. Those of you who play sports, students, honor your coach. And teachers, honor your teachers who educate and instruct you. They love you. Honor your boss. And you may say, well, I'm smarter than my boss. Honor him. You may want to be the boss someday, and you have to learn to serve before you can serve. Or lead, should I say. You have to learn to be under before you can be over. And it starts with honor. Ladies, you don't like your husband? He's not a great leader? You know what? Honor him. Treat him as ordinary and common, and that's what you're going to get. But if you will honor him and watch as he grows into the honorable position that God has called him to be. Number three. We're called to honor our pastor and our church leaders. 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For those of you who don't know, that's me. And I'm going to just tell you, I like pecan pie. I like peach cobbler. I like ice cream. I'm totally teasing. This is not just about me, so this could sound very self-serving. Please don't go there. That's not what I'm trying to do here. To be honest with you, I'm going to get to that in a moment. I feel very honored in this position by all of you, so thank you for that. But in case you're wondering, these are the people that God has placed in this church to help this church continue to grow. I think of two people who have been here longer, much longer than I have, who are elders. Roger Bernsketter. Kerry Hoskins, who isn't here this morning, but they have been elders at our church for a long time, and they care about this church, they pray for our church, and I want to honor you, Roger, and say thank you for what you do. Our pastoral staff, Bob and Laura, can I tell you, our fireworks tent wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for Bob and Laura. I mean, incredible job. They practically lived at that tent. Every night, they had to catch the drawers out. They would take the money, deposit it in the bank in Trenton, because that was where the Trenton bank was, one that the fireworks tent used. So then he'd come back. He'd show up every morning to make sure that the place was running well. They spent a lot of hours there. So you know what I did? On Wednesday, he came in. They were finally getting finished up. And I just told him they had canceled their 4th of July plans to be a part of that. So I just said, you know what? We're going to have the kids in the service on Sunday. Don't worry about doing anything. Just get out of here and go have some time with your family. So they left on Thursday and were able to have some good time. They're still there enjoying their family. They leave tomorrow for camp, and he's going to be gone all week. So I wanted to have an opportunity for him to make up for some lost time. And I'm so glad I was able to do that. But I want to honor him today because he and Laura did an incredible job. Morgan was there helping. He was having youth show up to volunteer. Thank you to Morgan. These are people who we are blessed to have, and it's a biblical mandate that we honor those who are spiritually in authority. And one of the great things about leading this church is that I do feel honored. I'm sure there are some who maybe don't totally agree with everything I do, and I'm sorry if you don't, But as a church, I never feel like people are trying to usurp authority or empower, you know, take their power over me and try to get me to do something. I feel like you're just willing to follow wherever I go. And that in itself, you know what that causes me to do? It lifts me up and it says, it's very important that I take time to be on my knees asking God what He wants for this place. Because I want to be making the right decisions for all of us. So you are empowering me when you honor me like you do. So I say thank you for that. The Bible is so clear. Look at this scripture. If you remember any scripture or want to write one scripture down, this is the one. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. This is our assignment when it comes to honor. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. I want us to read this together out loud. It's right here. Let's say this together. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Now that's the New International Version. Let me give you the English Standard Version. Love one another with brotherly affection. I love this. Outdo one another in showing honor. It's like it's a competition. You want to honor me? Oh yeah, well I can honor you back. Honor somebody. Outdo what they're doing for you by honoring them. Today, there are people over there watching your children in Tinytown. When you get over there to pick them up, find that person, give them a big hug, and honor them and say, thank you for allowing me to be in the service, enjoying my time, not being distracted by my children. Thank you for teaching my children the Bible while they're over there. Thank you for everyone who showed up early to have wonderful music for us to worship to this morning. I was talking to somebody yesterday. We had a wedding here. And someone from out of town was here who used to attend the church. They live in Kansas City now. And they said one of the hardest things they're doing is they're trying to find a place where they can go and worship. And everywhere they go, the worship music is just, he said, it's so hard to even find the melody. Now, I'm not saying that to prop me up. As you know, I'm trying to get out of that position. So what I'm saying is we are blessed with a band that is willing to show up, give their time, give their effort to God, not just to you. Don't get offended. They're doing this for God, but it winds up being to your benefit. And out of that, we have wonderful music that we can worship to every single Sunday, whether I'm leading or not. Amen? Amen. Find out who they are. Write them a thank you card. Tell them thank you for leading us in worship. Find those people that greet you at the front door, and when they're reaching out to give you a handshake, man, give them a hug and say, thank you for welcoming me into this church every single Sunday. Honor those who are placed in authority. And those life groups that we have going on, honor those life group leaders and say thank you and outdo one another in showing love. Let's go back to marriage for a moment. Outdo one another. As the spouse, you know what? She's not going to outdo me. I'm going to find ways to honor her more. And as you do that, your marriage will continue to just go up. Instead of taking it down by dishonoring one another, by being on the phone with the mom saying, can you believe what he did? Or can you believe what she did? Instead of talking about it, how about honor them? And lift them up and build your marriage through honor. It's through valuing. I want to take a moment and honor all of you and say thank you for what you do. Because everything we ask you to do, as simple as the fireworks tent, I'll use it because it's recent, but everybody who jumped in, willing to spend the night, willing to be there all day in the heat, willing to help our students, not one student had to pay to go to camp. Whether kids camp, youth camp, we did two different youth camps. Whatever it was, we were able to pay for our students to go for free. You know what a blessing that is to them? Thank you for your willingness. Thank you for your gratitude, for giving every single week to keep this place going. I want to honor you in doing so. But you know what I want to do most of all? I want to honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, who without Him, how many of us know we wouldn't be here today? Things would be totally different if we didn't have Jesus Christ in our heart, and we need to honor Him. He makes us a new creation. We need to honor Him for forgiving us, for filling us with His Spirit, for empowering us to do the things that we cannot do without Him. Why is it we have a culture without honor? Here's what I believe. The reason we have a culture without honor is all true honor is born out of a heart and surrender to God. That's truly where honor comes from. Psalm 22:23 says this, "You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor Him. Revere Him, all you descendants of Israel." See, the problem is we treat God as common sometimes, just like they did in his hometown. He was just the homeboy. He was just the dude down the street. He was just an ordinary guy, the big guy upstairs. Dear 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus. He's not baby Jesus, okay? Understand, he's the King of Kings, the soon returning, ruling, reigning Lord of Lords. And he deserves honor this morning. And we need to praise him. He is worthy of that honor and praise and glory. And we don't treat God as common or ordinary. When we begin to see him for who he is, we'll begin to see others for who they are, and we will honor them. I already used this baseball idea, so I'm going to give you another baseball analogy. How many of you have ever heard of Babe Ruth? Obviously, most of us have. Hopefully, you have. If you've seen baseball at all, Babe Ruth. It's told that he signed, autographed, 7 home run bats. I'm sure he autographed a lot more bats than that. We're talking autographed home run bats. Ones he literally hit a home run with. He signed 7 bats. The very first one that he signed was given at a home run contest. His agent actually gave it out to a man. And what happened is this man who received this bat kind of disappeared. He fell off the face of the earth. Nobody knew where that bat went. They were able to trace the other 6, but they could not find this 7th bat for a long time. This man who had this bat had cherished it. He had kept it hidden all this time until he was on his deathbed. And he had outlived all his family. So he gave it to his nurse. And he thanked her for taking care of him for all those years. And so he gave her this bat. Now, she didn't even realize what she had. But when she came on hard times, and financially she was struggling, and she was trying to start a new restaurant. And so she thought, you know, this is 18 years after she had received the bat, been sitting under her bed for 18 years. And she thought, I wonder what that bat is worth. Maybe that could help me get my restaurant started. So she took it to a sports shop. And she showed up and she said, is this worth anything? Can you imagine? Is this worth anything? And this guy's eyes lit up. And he went and got some experts and brought them back. And this is actually, they think, the very first of 7 autographed baseball bats by Babe Ruth. So it went on auction in 2006. And it sold for $1.3 million. The very first autographed baseball bat by Babe Ruth. Obviously, she was able to open a restaurant. Okay? But she did more than that. She took the remaining money and started a foundation to serve the children that Babe Ruth wanted to serve at the end of his life. So when the reporter asked her, why did you put all this money into a foundation to help others? She said this, the bat was only valuable because Babe Ruth's name was on it. So the only reasonable thing to do was something that would honor his life because he made it valuable. If you don't hear anything else, I need everybody to look at me and hear this statement. You are valuable because Jesus Christ died for you and his name is on your heart. And that's what gives you value. Every one of you in this room are valuable this morning. And the only reasonable response we have with this is to do something with our lives to honor him. Do you understand where I'm going with this? We bring value to God when we do what God has called us to do. When we honor him, we're honoring others, and that is what we are called to do. Now here's the problem. Is Isaiah 29:13 says this. These people come near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We prayed earlier. that we would not just be singing songs from our lips, but that we would be singing from our hearts. And let's be a generation that doesn't just give lip service to God, but that truly honors Him in everything that we do. When we walk in this building, whether we're serving in the children's department, serving in the youth department, helping anywhere in the service, may we be honoring God. Whether you're coming in and sitting down and just praising Him, may we be honoring God. And when you walk out of this building, in everything that you do, everything that you say, may we honor God. He's truly worthy of it. And as we begin to see the value in our own lives and see the value in others, we'll continue to honor them which honors God. It's pretty simple, isn't it? It's the follow through that can be hard sometimes. Will you bow your heads with me? I want us each one to check our hearts, because I'm going to be honest with you right now. With your heads bowed, I can say this. I could say it with you looking at me, but I'm just going to tell you. As I was writing this sermon this week, I had to take some time to pray and ask God to help me, to make sure I was honoring others. And what I was saying about people, what I was thinking about people. Think back in the last few weeks. Are there some conversations you've had that maybe weren't too honoring to others? Are there moments where you've been tearing your spouse down right in front of them when you could have been honoring? So if you're like me, because I can raise my hand this morning, just like you, and say, yes, I need God to forgive me, and I need help to remember that I must honor others. And if that's you in this room, I'm going to raise my hand right now. And if you're here and you want to raise your hand and say, yes, I need prayer, pray for me, Chad. Help me to honor others. Help me to honor my boss. Help me to honor my spouse. Help me to honor my parents. Help me to honor God. Lord, you see these hands that are raised. Lord, we submit our lives, our hearts, and ourselves to you. Have your way in each one of us today. Lord, I prayed it at the beginning that you would help us to walk away changed. We don't just show up just to hear a word and walk away, but God, may it change us. A lifestyle change from this moment forward, that you would help us. God, we can be the difference in Chillicothe, Missouri, to learn to show other people what honor really is, to show other people that we honor them. And out of that, it's going to lift them up. It's going to build them up, and they will begin to honor others, and they will begin to honor others, and they will begin to honor others. God, it comes and it can begin in us today. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. I love every one of you. And I can't wait to see you here next week. I want to ask you something. Will you do me a favor? Summers are hard. And I know some of you already have vacations planned. And I was talking to a couple this morning. They're getting ready to take a couple of trips. And I got to be honest with you. I went in May, and there's nothing like getting to go on vacation. You come back so refreshed. It feels good. But if you're not going on vacation, rather than treating church as, hey, we don't have anything else going, let's go to church, can you just give me like 3 weeks in a row where you just say, you know what? We're around. We got nothing else going. Let's go to church for 3 weeks in a row. Let's just be committed to just being here. And I know some of you already do this, so thank you. But I just want to encourage you that as you do that, it will begin to develop a habit, and you will find yourself going, you know what? There's nothing that should come before church. That should be the first thing on my list. Everything else can wait. Do you understand? Well, I hope I'm not being too harsh on you. I just am encouraging you to think about that as we walk out the building today. Rather than going, hey, I'm good. I can be gone for 2-3 weeks now and then I'll come back. How about just giving me 3 weeks to just be here, be a part of the service, and let's honor God with our attendance and being faithful. How about that? Is that okay? Awesome. Let's stand to our feet. God, thank you again for all that you do. Lord, we love you. We praise you, and we want to honor you as we leave this building. So help us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give God a hand praise. Yeah. Have a great day. We love you.